Be doing the service a little differently today. What we're going to do is to split the message into two, so that we'll have a first half and then a couple of songs in the second half. So when it gets to the end of the first half and you go, yes, it's an early mark, we can all go home. No, we've only but begun. So in the first part, we're going to reflect a little bit on last year, and I'm going to say a few things, and Janelle's going to say a few things, and then we're going to have some songs and then come back for the last part about looking at next year. Firstly, last year's theme was flourishing, and when you start a year and you look at it and you go, the theme for this year is, and you think, so wrong, this is so not how it's going to turn out. But it has. We have seen such a year of flourishing. And I've seen some beautiful things this year. And I just want to reflect on a couple of things that I've seen just recently. The first thing is I was going on my walk on Tuesday, I think. I think it was Tuesday. It could have been any time. I was walking around and I was walking past this house up the road. People who aren't a part of our church. And I heard this, Pastor Dave, Pastor Dave. And I looked up and they said, come here, come here. So I walked over and I walked in. And this lady says, oh, Pastor Dave, this is my newest grandbaby. I've had two grandbabies in the last month. And so I was introduced to the introduced to something this big. But it was such a beautiful thing just to be introduced to little kids. And this little baby, I'd actually married their parents and all sorts of stuff. So it was just a beautiful moment. A few weeks ago, we're doing all the Christmas hampers. So we did 14 Christmas hampers, which is amazing. And just were able to bless 14 families, which is excellent, so good. But when we were just getting it going, I had someone rock up at the door one day and said, oh, I've come into some money and I want to just help people. How can I help you? And I said, oh, we're doing this and this and this. And they said, oh, Christmas hampers, how much can I give you? And I said, well, we had vouchers, IGA vouchers a couple of years ago, or last year, and we had $1,000 for that. Yep, right out of check. Later that day, I had a phone call from a guy who's in his 90s. And he says, oh, Dave, I've just got all these coins I've been collecting. Could I give them to something useful? And I said, oh, we've got this Christmas hampers going, da-da-da. He said, yep, I want to give it to that. So he came down and gave me this Tupperware container of coins. And there was $450 in that. So just from the community in one day, we're given $1,500 so that we could bless others. And it's just so exciting. One of the things I've loved this year has been your connections. You know, to hear about, oh, I went out and I had dinner with this person, I had dinner with that person, I went out to lunch after church. And to hear those stories of connecting beyond here, it's amazing. I encourage you to continue doing that. But it's just wonderful when I hear stuff that we are doing. And that's really exciting for me. It's great to look around here and to look at the faces that weren't here 3 or 4 years ago. I know some of you are only here for the week. Thank you, Bruce, for bringing that quarter of the church. but it's great to see people who have come in the last couple of years. And we've had, last year we had this conversation about missional community and talking about what can we do to reach our community. For next year and stuff. And looking around that, and most of the people who were a part of that weren't a part of us 3 years ago. And then if I look at SEA, which started a year and a half ago, most of the people organising that weren't here 4 or 5 years ago. So we've had this new people coming into our community and connecting into our community and reaching out to the community within our community. And that's beautiful. And I've just really enjoyed being a part of that and watching everyone else do the work so that I can take the glory. It's my role to see you doing that. And I just want to say thank you to you, but primarily thank you to God for what he's done. Beginning of the year, someone came to me and said, David, I just want to have a Bible meditation group where we just sit down and meditate on the Bible. And that's beautiful because that's who we are. Let's just get on with working with God and sitting with God and learning about God and worshipping God and learning more about God together. Because who are we? We are God's people. We are the people of God. We come to worship God, but we also come to work in our community to see his name be glorified. It's who we are. And when we see that happening amongst us, that's what excites me. So last year, the year of flourishing, absolutely. We sit here today in a place where God has flourished us, and it's a beautiful thing.
Okay, that handing over the mic is now Janelle will do her part. Okay, so what Dave asked me to do is just do some review over this last year. So let's have a look. As Dave talked about, we have flourished, and flourishing isn't just in numbers. It's also in influence. So, okay, now the thing's not going to work. All right, so Pastor Dave preached 48 sermons and told 193 jokes with only two being funny. We all agree with that one. His car broke down 19 times this year with only towed home twice, which is a record, So we had to put that one in. Our average attendance on Sunday AM services has gone from 42 to 55. We sang a mixture of 115 different songs in our morning services. No one can say that we only do five common songs. The top five were Living Water, Almighty, Amazing Grace, May the Peoples Praise You, and the number one probably won't surprise you, 10,000 Reasons. Men's Shed moved from being open 3 days to 5 days, and its increase in intimacy and support between Shed members, it also increased connection with the church. SIA averaged 35 people each Wednesday, including people from the community, and Playgroup averaged around 25 children each time they met. At the church family River Day, we had approximately 40 people that came. And as Dave said, we gave 14 Christmas hampers to both community and church families. We also had 85 people attend our two Christmas services. I suppose with all those things, though, the question is, does it mean that we've flourished? Well, let's have a re-look at what the word is. It basically means to grow or develop in a healthy or vigorous way, especially as a result of a particularly congenial environment. Now, congenial environment means suited to one's needs or nature and agreeable. We've just looked at some points at the beginning and said, okay, was that actually flourishing? And in the numbers and the influences, it's very true, we have. But we're made up of individuals, as Dave was saying. So what about us? Have we flourished? Because it's as we flourish that the church will flourish. What I want to do is quickly just have a look at a couple of the scriptures. Ephesians 4:14-15 says, "We are not meant to remain as children, but to grow up in every way in Christ." To flourish is to grow up. It's to take on the further parts of Christ. James 1:2-4. "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." Flourishing in the biblical concept is not necessarily having everything perfect and having everything that we want, but it's about that deep growth that comes from inside. And the Bible says it's through those hard times where we're asked to endure that we flourish. Jeremiah 29 also talks about we flourish when we help others flourish. What I'd like to do as part of finishing off this year to then go into next year, as Dave said, it's two-part, is I'm going to ask some questions, and then I'm going to give you a couple of moments to sit with God and reflect those on those questions. You're not to share them, or you don't have to share them, but really ask God these three questions. In what area or areas have I grown this year and can thank you for? In what situations were you trying to grow me and I fought you? And what have I done to help others flourish? We're going to have a couple of minutes. Then I am going to read a story to you. And then we're going to go into some time of reflective worship. So just have time thinking about those at the moment.
Just to clear up, one of those statistics were wrong. I don't know if you noticed, but every single one of my jokes is funny. I expect louder laughter than that. Last year it was Flourish was our theme, and it's I find it obvious that that's what happened. Not that we necessarily worked towards that, but that's what God did in amongst us. So what's the theme for next year? The theme for next year is looking forward for 2020 vision. So there's a bit of a play on words there, because 2020 vision is learning from the past. But we've also got a vision for what we're going to do in 2020. See that? How clever is that? That's not funny. That's just genius. Looking forward with 2020 vision. And part of that is clarity, focus and wisdom. So for us next year, what we really believe is God's going to do great things for us in transforming who we are and transforming our community. 2020 vision, clarity, focus and wisdom. So what I want to do is just to have a little bit of a look at what these words mean. Firstly, clarity. Clarity is knowing what God wants of us, personally, corporate, and in mission. What does God want for us, and how do we go about seeing that into fruition? So clarity. Clarity is knowing God's called us to something, to know what He's called us to and to be able to pursue that. We all have things that we're called to. Things that we're called to personally, things that we're called to at the moment, things that we're called to in community. And we need to understand what we're called to. There's a part of us that we're called long term. We're called to worship God. We're called to glorify God. And within that, there's an element of what God's calling us to do more specifically. But within this time and place, we're called as well. I'm not called to this church forever, although I could be, who knows. But I'm called here at the moment. And we're in this church because God's called us into this church, into this community, for a purpose. So what's that purpose? Because we need to understand what God's calling us to. So how do we understand what our calling is? Well, the first thing is we need to trust in God's guidance. Often what will happen is we feel God say something to us, but then we sort of waver in how much we trust that. And we need to learn to trust in His guidance. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make straight your paths. We need to know that we need to trust God's guidance and what we believe God guiding us into. To trust that and to pursue that. The second thing is to learn to recognize God's voice. God speaks to us. God calls us. And He gives us a clear picture of who we are and what we're to do. And we need to be able to trust in God's voice, but we also need to be able to learn to recognize God's voice. Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of God. God speaks to us. He can speak to us through the Bible, but He can speak to us in many ways. And we've looked at that many times. But God speaks to us. We need to learn to recognize His voice. We also need to listen for God's voice, because there's many times that we're actually not listening. Do I hear an amen, Janelle? There's times where we don't listen. We just not even beginning to hear. But as we're hearing God's call, as we're pursuing God, we need to be listening for what He's calling us to do. Listening for when He's going to redirect us. Listening to when He's going to just tweak us left and tweak us right. We need to be aware that God speaks to us and be listening for when He redirects us in what we're going about. In Isaiah 30, and your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. When you turn to the right or when you turn to the left. God's going to direct our paths. So we start off believing that God's guiding us and trusting where God's guiding us. We hear God's voice speaking to us, and then we're listening for God to redirect us if we need to. We need to, undergirding all of that, we need to be committed to glorifying God. Our role and our purpose, each one of us, is to glorify God in everything that we do. Not just to stand up and say glory to God, but actually glorify Him through our actions, through our words, through who we are as people, how we treat others, how we care for each other. We need to be committed to glorifying God in everything that we do. 2 Corinthians 10. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all in the glory of God. We need to be walking in the glory of God and glorifying Him in everything that we do. And the last point here is we need to exercise our spiritual strengths. We need to understand what God has put in us as our strengths and to work on them. To understand with a real clarity and an understanding of what God's called us to do, but how we are to go about that and what our strengths are. Because we can easily be available and be put into a place where it's not our strengths. Or we can push our strengths and not be in our calling. But we need to be able to understand what are my strengths, what are the strengths that God's given to me, and how does that outwork into this situation. So, Proverbs 22 says, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, and favour is better than silver or gold. We need to be glorifying God in everything we do, hearing God, being really willing and ready to follow wherever He leads us, and to be working within our strengths within that call. So this year, looking to 2020 vision, what is our purpose as a community? We each have an individual calling, but what is our individual as a community? And as a community, we're transforming our Yandina area. That's who we are. Transforming our Yandina area. Transforming us. God's transforming us to be more like Jesus. We're transforming our church to reflect God in our community more. We're transforming our community to be more like Jesus as well. Our goal, our purpose, our call is to transform our Yandina area, to transform those around us. It's being clear, having clarity, but it's also having focus. And focus is following through with what we are clear about, not being distracted. So did you hear the one about, keeping priorities? We need to be focused. Nehemiah 6 says, I am carrying on a great project and cannot go down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you? Nehemiah understood his priorities. He understood that what he was doing. And these kings called him down and said, you need to come and see us. And he said, mate, I've just finished building the wall, because that's how Nehemiah talks. Mate, I've just finished these walls. Been working really hard, but we've got so much more to do. And I haven't got time to waste going talking to you important people, really. He was focused on what God had called him to do. And we need to be focused on what God's called us to do. So we're clear in what God's telling us to do. We're clear in who we are, clear in our purpose and our passion and our calling. And we need to be focused in following through on that. Now, I don't know about you, but food is important. No amens. Oh, disappointing. And I used to, hear the word used to, I used to love a buffet. I used to love a buffet because a buffet is endless. A buffet does not end. A buffet finishes when you fall down. A buffet finishes when you look at your plate and go, I can't fit any more except for this bit in. Oh. But what do you end up with after a buffet? Yeah, a little too much. I've learned that buffets are not good for me. Avoid the buffet. Just go on something that's a proper size and not eat for 3 months. But often when we have a buffet, we don't stop. We just keep going. We take on too much. And we need to be focused and not take on too much. We can look at our community and say, these are the needs in our community. Boom, 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 boom. These are the needs of the people around me. Boom, 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 boom. These are the needs in the church. Boom, boom, boom. I need to solve all of them. Well, we can't. We've got a ministry buffet around us, and we need to be able to look and say, what are parts of these ministry needs are for me? Where do I fit? Because not all of us are called to everything, but we're called to something specific. And God has a place for us and a call for us. And it could be something within the community and something within the church and something within our community. It could all be a little bit here and a little bit there, which is far better than trying to do everything and doing it all badly, or doing nothing and achieving nothing. We need to be focused on our role within the vision of the church. And we need to find who we are and what is our place in that. We also need to focus on our purpose, not on our problems. It's really easy to focus on the problems. It's really easy to focus on just how hard it is to be me. You don't know how long it takes me to keep this hair in place. It's hard. but we need to focus on our purpose and not on our problems. In Philippians, Paul's in prison writing to the Philippian people, and he says in chapter 1:22, "If by continuing to live I can do more worthwhile work, then I am not sure which I should choose. I am pulled in two directions. I want very much to leave this life and be with Christ, which is a far better thing, but for your sake it is much more important that I remain alive. I am sure of this, and so I know that I will stay. I will stay on with you to add to your progress and to your joy in the faith." We need to know what God is calling us to and to stay focused on what that is. Don't get distracted by our own problems, by things that are too hard, but to be focused on God's purpose. And that there's going to be things which make it hard to focus. There's going to be things which distract us, which stopped us. We need to learn what is a distraction and what is right in God. And we need to be able to say no to those distractions. Luke 9:52, "Anyone who lets himself be distracted from the work I plan for him is not fit for the kingdom of God." We're called to be focused and not distracted. So what distracts us? The expectations of other people, the expectations of family, the expectations of those around us, which continually say, you should be doing this, you should be doing this, should. Hate the word should. Never listen to the word should. But we're distracted by other people's views, other people's expectations. We're distracted by our past. You could never do that. You're not good enough to do that. You've never done well before. What would you do, Don? You failed here. We're distracted by our past. We're distracted by our personal priorities. There's things which get in our way of doing God's call. There's things which are in us, the workings of the flesh, which stop us from getting on with what God wants us to do. We need to be focused on what he's calling us to, focused on what he's calling us to as a church, but individually as well. We need to put aside the distractions and all that stuff that's going to stop us and take us away from his call and to pursue him. Clarity, focus, and wisdom. What's wisdom? Wisdom is knowing how to go about seeing God's purpose through, knowing what to pick up and what to put down, knowing who to put where, listening to him intently. Where do we fit? Wisdom's a tough one, because wisdom is not a human wisdom. Wisdom is a godly wisdom. There's a difference. We can be wise in the eyes of the world, which is opposed to wise in the eyes of God. Ecclesiastes 1:17, "And I applied my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceived that this is but a striving after the wind." The classic story is Solomon. And God said to Solomon, "Anything you want, anything, ask for me and I will give it to you." And he didn't ask for the lottery. He didn't ask for good looks. He didn't ask for all those things which our society pursue. He didn't ask for celebrity or fame. He asked for wisdom. And I can imagine his advisors looking at him going, "Solomon, that's the dumbest thing ever." But it was actually the most amazing and wise thing ever. We need to look for wisdom. Wisdom to know who God is, and wisdom to know how to pursue what God wants of us. Wisdom to know what is the next step, and what is a distraction, and what is of God. Wisdom to know who we are, and what God's calling us to, and what God's calling us to. James 3:17, "But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere." Earthly wisdom pursues the emotions. Earthly wisdom pursues how we feel, what we feel is right, what makes sense, what is logical. We're called to a wisdom that's of God, a wisdom that understands what tomorrow is about, a wisdom that understands the bigger picture than what we see and think and feel, a wisdom that's outside of our flesh, a wisdom that's in God's kingdom. And we need to pursue after God's wisdom and what God would call us to. The Bible talks about how the heart is deceitful above all things. And there's times where our heart will say no, but when we know God is saying yes. And we need to be able to pursue God's wisdom. James 1:5, "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." God desires to give us wisdom. God desires us to be wise people and to be able to walk in His ways. He's not holding it back and He's not hiding us from it, but He's waiting for us to take it up. And He's asking us to pursue wisdom and pursue His wisdom. So how can we get wisdom? First of all, we need to desire it with all our might. We need to long after wisdom. We can long after many things. We can be passionate about many things. But we need to long after wisdom. Proverbs 4:8 says, "Praise her highly and she will exalt you. She will honour you for your embrace." And Proverbs 2:4, "Seek it like silver and search for it as hidden treasure." We need to desire to be wise, to desire to have this wisdom. Secondly, wisdom is found in the Word of God. We need to be pursuing the Bible and chasing after the Bible and knowing what God is saying through the Bible. His words are eternal and His words mean something to us today as they did yesterday, as they will tomorrow. We need to be pursuing the Bible in who we are as a community and as individuals. Psalm 19 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." In Proverbs 18, "The words of His mouth are as deep waters. The fountain of wisdom is a gushing spring." We need to pursue the Bible and God's Word to understand His way of seeing the world, His understanding of what's going on around us, to pursue who He is. And the third thing is that we should pray. To get wisdom, we need to pray. We need to pursue God. We talked before about hearing God's voice and listening. And a part of prayer is listening, and we need to take things to God. We can easily make quick answers and quick decisions. What do we do about this? Boom. What do we do about this? But it's far better for us to stop and say, "God, what is your place in this? What is my role within your place in this?" We need to pursue in God, to pray and to pursue Him. 1 Kings 3 says, "Because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, behold, now I do according to your word." Because Solomon asked out of a heart for God rather than a heart for himself, God gave him all that he asked for. We need to pursue Him and to pursue what He wants of us and to pursue Him in prayer constantly. James says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God." We need to ask God for wisdom and ask God for wisdom in every situation. The fourth way to get wisdom is to understand the shortness of this life and the length of the next. We can be so tied up in what this world offers and the answers in this world that we miss the actual point. This earth, this life we have is only temporary. It's only short. You know, as I get older, I realise life is shorter. Do I hear an amen from the really old ones? Oh, thank you, old. But as I get older, I realise that life is short, but eternity is long. And we make decisions based on life now and not on eternity. We make decisions based on what I feel like now, not on what's good for God in eternity. I make decisions based on what's good for now and not what's good for 10 years' time and 20 years' time. And we need to be understanding that this life is just a short glimpse of our future and of our eternity. And we need to start making decisions based on eternity and not today or tomorrow or yesterday. We need to have an understanding that this life is short, but God is long. This life is short, but our God is eternal. And wisdom that comes from today is short, whereas wisdom that comes from God is eternal. And finally, we must come to Jesus. Our pinnacle of everything we do, the foundation of who we are, the future of who we are, is based in Jesus. Everything we do. Wisdom comes from a relationship with Jesus. Wisdom comes from knowing who God is and what God's doing in our lives. And wisdom, the basis of it is knowing Jesus and being in a relationship with Jesus. The be-all and end-all of who we are the people of God, the people of Jesus. And that's the foundation of everything we do and everything we understand. We come here looking forward to this year. We come here looking forward with 2020 vision, a clarity, a focus, and a wisdom with the goal of transforming our Yandina area. Our God does not give us a ministry to copy others. He's called us to follow Him, pursue what He's called us to do. And the fruit that we're going to see in this year to come is based on God's call and God's wisdom and God leading us, not on we think is a really good idea. Let's pray. Father, thank you that each and every year is a new year. Each and every day is a new day. Thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace, for your transformation. Thank you for your commitment to us, your commitment to broken people, your commitment to those who desire and long to pursue you and to know you. Father, thank you that next year is going to be a good year. That next year we're going to see the fulfillment of some of your promises. That next year is going to be a time where we see you glorified and you see you made great. Father, thank you that we have a role to play in that, a purpose to play in that, a calling within that. And Father, help us to know where we fit, what you want of us, and how we can see you glorified in every aspect of who we are as people. In Jesus' name, amen.